الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you and protect you, inshallah. We go back to Surah Ibrahim alayhi salam. Surah Ibrahim verses 15 through 18. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala anbiya'illahi jami'an. وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وعلى سيدنا ومولانا الإمام الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر عجل الله فرجه الشريف وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واستفتحوا وخاب كل جبار عنيد من ورائه جهنم ويسقى من ماء صديد يتجرعه ولا يكاد يسيغه ويأتيه الموت من كل مكان وما هو بميت وما هو بميت ومن ورائه عذاب غليظ مثل الذين كفروا بربهم أعمالهم كرماد كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء ذلك هو ضلال البعيد صدق الله العلي العظيم. واستفتحوا وخاب كل جبار عنيد. استفتحوا has two meanings. One meaning is when someone asks for victory, asks God for victory. And this is why in the Quran, God says to the Muslim community, إِن تَسْتَفْتِحُوا فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْفَتْحِ. If you ask God for victory, then God will grant you victory. إِن تَسْتَفْتِحُوا فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْفَتْحِ. Ask God. If you need something, you need victory, you need a triumph, you need success, then you have to ask. Don't we ask all the time? We ask people around us. For the most basic things, we ask people. For food, you ask. You have to ask your wife. If you don't ask, you don't get food. Even for a drink, you have to ask for a drink. Victory is something important. Success is something very important. So definitely you have to ask. You have to work for it. And you have to ask. Ask for it too. You have to ask. إِن تَسْتَفْتِحُوا. If you ask me for victory, فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْفَتْحِ. We will grant you فَتْح. فَتْح is opening. An opening here in this context means victory. So that is the first meaning in استفتحوا. The second meaning of استفتحوا is when the prophets ask their Lord to be as judges or judge between them and their communities. The prophets and the messengers, they worked very hard to invite people. Some people responded to them, but the vast majority rejected them. They didn't listen to them. They did not heed the call. So here the prophets turn to God and ask for God to be the judge. And this meaning also is mentioned in the Quran. رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ. Sometimes you have a dispute with someone, with an individual, with a company, with a family, with the government. And you do your best to solve this dispute, to solve it. Sometimes it is financial, sometimes it's legal, sometimes, you know. You work hard, but then you reach a deadlock. There is no solution. Here, you ask God to interfere. Oh God, I want you to be the judge. رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا. And this is what the prophets did. The prophets, they went into the streets asking people to believe in God. Some people accepted their invitation, others rejected them. So here they are asking God. They say, God, we did what we could. We did what we could. We leave the rest with you. رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا. Because people are not listening anymore. It is beyond our capacity, our ability. People are not listening. So we want you to be the judge between us and our community. رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْبِنَا بِالْحَقِّ. افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا means decide between us. You decide who's right, who's wrong. We leave it for you to decide. So if you have a problem with someone, financial problem, financial dispute, some disagreement, some conflict, and you cannot reach a settlement, ask God to be the judge. Ask God to be the judge here, to decide. God will decide. And God would help. So here the prophets ask God for help and ask God to decide for them, to be the judge between them and their communities. واستفتحوا, the prophets استفتحوا. They ask God to help them. And when God helped them, what happened? وخاب كل جبار عنيد. Every tyrant, جبار. Jabbar has also two meanings. When it comes to God, one of his names, I think it's written here, Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar means what? God is Al-Jabbar. Not the mighty, something more than that. The mighty is Al-Qawi. Al-Jabbar has a specific meaning. Al-Jabbar has a specific meaning. Al-Jabbar, al-mutasallit ala kulli shay. He is in charge of everything. He is in control of everything. God is in control of this universe. God is in control of everything. So this meaning, when it comes to God, this is the meaning. God is in charge. God is in control of everything in this universe. But when we call someone Jabbar, what does that mean? A human being. Huh? Exactly. He is arrogant. So when someone is named Jabbar, a human being, it's not good. Does not have good connotation, good meaning. It means he's arrogant. He's conceited. He has a pride. He has arrogance. This is the meaning of Jabbar. Aneed, what is the meaning of aneed? Aneed, exactly, comes from inad, and inad is stubbornness. Stubbornness, someone who does not listen. Someone who insists on wrongdoing. You keep telling him this is wrong. Don't do this. Don't approach this. Don't say this. You keep telling him again and again and again, but he does not listen. Aneed, stubborn. God says every self-conceited, arrogant, stubborn tyrant fails and is defeated. Is defeated. They cannot win. Those people cannot win. We might think they are winning, but at the end, they're going to be knocked down. Someone who's self-conceited, someone who's arrogant, someone who's tyrant, and someone who is stubborn. These are recipes for what? For disaster, for disappointment, not for success. Not for success. So God says, when the Prophet asked me to be a judge, I became a judge, and I decided that those arrogants and tyrants have to be defeated. وَاسْتَفْتَحُ وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. There is a story, very famous story, in the books of history. During the time of Bani Umayyah had several caliphs. Started with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, was the first Umayyad caliph. One of them, his name was Al-Walid ibn Yazid ibn Abd al-Malik. He was in his palace in Damascus. At that time, and even now, some people, they open the Quran to see this process is called tafa'ul. Tafa'ul means when you hold the Quran and you want to see something about your fortune, whether this is going to happen or not. So they open the Quran. It's a tradition. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So don't come to tomorrow and tell me, Sayyid, I opened the Quran to see whether I am going to win the lottery, and then it said yes and I didn't win. No. I'm saying this is a tradition. Sometimes works, sometimes does not. This process in Arabic is called tafa'ul. Tafa'ul means I am asking for good omen, not bad omen. So he opened the Quran to see about his fortune, his future, what the Quran is going to tell him about his future. This ayah came out, this ayah. وَاسْتَفْتَحُوا وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. استفتحوا, he opened the Quran, and every tyrant, arrogant, is defeated. خَاب, from خَيْبَ. خَيْبَ is defeat or disappointment. خَيْبَ, when someone, خَائِب. So he became more arrogant. He became very furious. He looked at the Quran and he said to the Quran, تُهَدِّدُنِي بِجَبَّارٍ عَنِيدِ. Are you threatening me with the power of God, with the might of God? فَهَا أَنَا ذَاكَ جَبَّارٌ عَنِيدُ. I am the one who's mighty and powerful and in full control. إِذَا مَا جِئْتَ رَبَّكَ يَوْمَ حَشْرٍ فَقُلْ يَا رَبِّ مَزَّقَنِي الْوَلِيدُ. He started to destroy the Quran, to tore the Quran apart, and then he said, go back to your Lord and complain to God on the Day of Judgment. Tell him, Walid ibn Yazid ibn Abd al-Malik destroyed me. He was defying God. Historians say, he did not last for a long time. After a few days, he was assassinated in his own palace. By Bani Umayyah, by his tribe, his family. He was assassinated and his head was separated from his body and his head was placed at the entrance of the castle, of his palace. So this is a history, this is a true story from our history. وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. Those tyrants and those arrogants, Their retribution on the day of judgment is very clear. Their destination, their direction, their abode, their place is very clear. Jahannam. من ورائه جهنم. Jahannam is waiting for him. من ورائه جهنم ويسقى من ماء صديد. Of course, there is thirst on that day. On the day of judgment, before people enter into their final abode, we have been told that people are going to suffer from severe thirst. Severe thirst. For the believers, Allah says in this book, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. There are different types of drinks on that day. Different types of drinks. Some of them are mentioned in the Quran. One of them is kafur. And this is a reference to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, his family. There is a special drink ready for them. Another drink, another fountain, the main source of drinking water on that day is where? What is it? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Kawthar has two meanings. One meaning is an abundance of goodness. It is a reference to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his two sons, Quraysh rejoiced. They said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْأَبْتَرِ. Muhammad now has no posterity, no children. All his children are dead. So once Muhammad dies, his message is going to die with him. The Prophet was saddened. Allah said to him, Ya Rasulullah, don't worry. I am going to replace those two sons, Al-Qasim, Al-Tahir, that you lost. I'm going to give you an abundance of children, an abundance of generation, an abundance of them. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. So this is number one, through Fatima alayhi salam, through the marriage of Fatima and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. This is one meaning of kawthar. The second meaning is, هُوَ نَهْرٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. It is a stream, it's a river that passes in paradise. And only those who deserve to drink, they're going to reach out to that river. Some of them, the Prophet says in Sahih al-Bukhari, some of my companions, he says, are thirsty, they're going to come to me. God says, no, you can't have access to the Prophet. I say, God, but those were my companions during my lifetime. God is going to tell me, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَاذَا أَحْدَثُوا بَعْدَكَ إِنَّهُمْ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمُ الْقَهْقَرَىٰ. Yes, they were your companions. They were your companions during your lifetime. But after your departure, they changed their direction. They are no longer your companions. They don't deserve this drink. And who's the saqi? Who's the one who gives you the cup of water on that day? Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. So it's a day of thirst. Severe thirst. So ask Imam Ali and ask the Prophet not to forget you on that day. When you stand before Imam Ali, say to him, I have many things on my list. Many things. One is, at the time of death, I want to see your face. Imam Ali alayhi salam says to his disciple, Al-Harith al-Hamdani, Ya Hara Hamdan, Man Yamut Yarani, Min Mu'minin, Aw Munafiqin Qubula. Both are going to see me. Both. The good people and the bad people. The believers and non-believers. The mu'mineen and the hypocrites. They're going to see me at the time of death. But there is a difference Believers are going to see him smiling and happy. The non-believers are going to see him frowning and angry. So it depends on our deeds here, on our direction here, on our true loyalty to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Are we really loyal to him by deeds and actions or just by name? So this is number one, you need him. And you need him in the grave also. In the grave when we are put there and we are left alone. Left alone. Families, friends, you know, partners, children, grandchildren, they desert us. They leave. They go back to work. After 30 minutes, our children, they go back to school. Our friends go back to work. We are alone there. Again, you need Imam Ali alayhi salam there. And then you need him at the pond of Kawthar, Hawdul Kawthar. You need to get that. Once you get that cup from him, you are successful. You should not worry about anything else. So, on the other hand, those tyrants, those who committed heinous crimes in their life, heinous crimes, they caused nations, entire nations to suffer. Now, as I talk to you, there are entire nations are suffering because of the tyranny and the arrogance of one person. God says those, من ورائه جهنم. Beyond him lies hell. Beyond means in front of him. من ورائه جهنم. And he's thirsty, so what are they going to give him? And he shall be given to drink the oozing pus, meaning the mixture of blood. Have you seen the discharge? Some of you are doctors here. When there are wounds, some of these wounds have discharge. Discharge. God says we're going to give him from this drink. No one is ready to drink. But the tyrant has to drink to survive because he's very thirsty. It's a parable of something very gross. Very gross. من ورائه جهنم ويسقى من ماء صديد. صديد in Arabic القيح. Al-qayh is the discharge of the wounds. Have you seen the discharge of the wounds? They're going to give him that drink. The discharge of the wounds. من ورائه جهنم ويسقى من ماء صديد. يتجرعه. He will gulp down. He drinks it reluctantly. He doesn't want to drink this. But he has no choice. Reluctantly. يتجرعه. تجرع in Arabic means when you eat or drink something you don't like. Have you seen some kids when their parents force them to eat or drink something? Or the medicine. The medicine. Sometimes the medicine is not, you know. Nowadays they put some, you know, flavor in it. But in the old days, it was very bitter. So children, they don't like medicine. So they consume it reluctantly. They don't like it. This is the case with the tyrants on the Day of Judgment. They have to drink these types of dirty drinks reluctantly. يتجرعه ولا يكاد يسيغه ولا يكاد يسيغه. But can scarcely swallow it. He cannot swallow it. ومن ورائه ويأتيه الموت من كل مكان. And death shall come upon him from every direction, from every side. Death is waiting for him. ويأتيه الموت من كل مكان وما هو بميت. Yet he will not die. He will not die. God says, no, not yet. Because you were the cause of the suffering of millions of people. Millions of people suffered because of you. You brought mayhem, destruction, war, sanctions, famine to many nations. I let you die in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in 15 minutes? No. Some people say, where is God's mercy then? God is merciful to those who understand and appreciate the meaning of mercy. They deserve it. But for those who are the cause of suffering in this universe, God is not merciful anymore. God is just. يتجرعه ولا يكاد يسيغه ويأتيه الموت من كل مكان وما هو بميت. He doesn't die easily. He sees death, and death seizes him from every direction, but he's not dying. وما هو بميت ومن ورائه. And then ahead of him, عذاب غليظ, a very gross and grave punishment and retribution is waiting for him. One more verse and we conclude. مثل الذين كفروا بربهم أعمالهم كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف لا يقدرون مما كسبوا على شيء. The parable of those who disbelieve in their Lord. My friends, when we say those who disbelieve in their Lord, it does not necessarily mean those who are non-Muslims. Sometimes there are Muslims who disbelieve in the Lord. Their title is Islamic. Their name is Islamic. They consider themselves to be Muslims, but their behavior is non-Islamic. They don't believe in God. Because what is the meaning of believing in God? Just to say, yeah, God exists, that's it. It's not only that. It's to act upon that. It's to act. It's to respect God, to listen to God. God is sitting there, not just a figure. We watch him. God is in command. God is in charge. God says certain things you must do, and certain things you should not do. This is the meaning of the belief in God, the belief in monotheism. The belief in monotheism is to practice monotheism, to practice it. So some people, they call themselves Muslims, but they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. So God says, those people, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ. Their deeds are like ashes. Whatever they do in this life is like ashes. Why God chose ashes here as a parable, as an example? Exactly. It has no weight. God says, كرماد اشتدت به الريح في يوم عاصف. Like ashes that the wind blows hard on a stormy day. When there is a storm, strong winds, and there are ashes here in the middle. What will happen to these ashes? Can you gather them? You can't. You can't. Ashes are going to go, disappear immediately. They don't stay. God says the work of those who do not believe in God, like ashes. It does not have any substance. It's not tangible. It is going to be blown away easily. Why? Because they are not working for God. They are working for themselves. Those who do not believe in God, they have problems in their life. Their feelings are not genuine. You don't feel that they really love you. Even if they say we love you, they don't. They love themselves. Because they don't believe in God. What makes us love each other is our love for God. If we lack this love for God, we are not going to love each other. We pretend that we respect each other, we love each other. But in fact, we love ourselves. Someone was telling me that my father wants his family around him all the time. I said, this is good. Then your father loves his family. He says, no, he doesn't love his family. He loves himself. He doesn't want to be lonely. So he wants his family to be around him, not for the sake of his family, the happiness of his family, for the sake of his own satisfaction, his own happiness. He doesn't want to be lonely. Look at the difference. Ask yourself, when you want your kids to be next to you, is it because you love your kids or you love yourself? There is a difference. So those disbelievers in God, their feelings are not genuine. Their work is also not genuine. Even when they give, it's not genuine. Does not have any substance. Therefore, God says it's like what? Ashes. It's not gathered. They cannot claim it. Ashes, when winds blow, the ashes, they're going to go away. Nothing would remain for them on the day of judgment. They come on the day of judgment empty-handed. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحِ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ. They have no power over what they have earned. No power. My friends, our deeds depends on our what? Exactly. Our niyyah, intention. It is your intention that makes your work, your deed, your amal either blissful or non-blessed. I'll tell you a story. Someone built a huge complex somewhere in one of the countries. He spent millions of dollars on a project, huge project. In one of the countries. But not for the sake of God. Not for the sake of the humanity. Not for people to benefit from that project. But it was for his own self-benefit. For his name. I know the person very well. He built this project. He was building it. Spending millions of dollars, my friends. Millions of dollars on that project only for one reason, and that reason is to promote his name, only to promote his name. That project is grounded since 30 years ago. Grounded. It didn't take off. The government came and said, you cannot continue this. He spent millions of dollars. He came back empty-handed. Empty-handed. All this money is lost. All the money that was spent on this project is lost. Neither he can sell it, no one is buying it, nor he can finish it. It has been grounded for 30 years, 3 decades. Why? Because his niyyah was not for God. His intention was not to help and serve people. It was to serve himself. God says, this work, karamadin ishtaddat bihi ar-rih. It's like ashes, which is blown away by a strong wind. By a strong wind. Our a'mal has to be dedicated to God. Even if you do something small, say, I dedicate this to God. ربنا تقبل منا. Ibrahim, when he built the house, he was alone with his son Ismail. Alone. Small house. You know, the original house is much smaller than the current house. The current Kaaba is much bigger. The house that Ibrahim built, the Kaaba, was much smaller than this. Much, maybe 1/5 of this size. Very small house. Where? In the middle of a desert. Anyone, me and you, we can take some brinks from here and build a house in the desert. But look at the difference. Ibrahim said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ. Ibrahim and Ismail, they raised the foundations of the house, and this is what they said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. تقبل منا. This is important. Do we say this sentence when we work? Do we say Rabbana taqabbal minna? Or we forget? Or I think about myself and my name? Which one? Ibrahim 4,000 years ago built a house. He dedicated the house to God. Look at what happened to that house. All of us, every member who's able has to go to that house and visit that house. This is the barakah. This is the blessings. So whatever we do, even if we have a small project, you have a project, you have $100 only, not $100,000, not $100 million, $100 in your pocket, and you want to do something good with it, say, I dedicate this work, this money, this humble money, for the sake of God. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. إنك مجيب الدعوات. إنك غافر الخطيئات. إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات. إنك على كل شيء قدير. إن شاء الله tomorrow صلاة الجمعة at 12 noon. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, inshallah, at 7 p.m. Salat begins here at 7 p.m. And the Imam is Sayyid Abbas Radawiyan, Sayyid Payam. He's an honorable scholar, very distinguished scholar. He's very humble. He just arrived from Qum yesterday, and he's going to address us, inshallah, speak about the life and legacy of Our Lady Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salatu wassalam. 3 nights in English, beginning with Salat at 7 p.m. and then 7:30, the majlis begins, inshallah. 3 nights, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, inshallah. Please raise your hand. Let's recite this ayah for the healing and the recovery and fulfillment of our needs. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. اقضي حوائجنا للدنيا والآخرة. أمتنا على ولاية أمير المؤمنين. لا تخرجنا من الدنيا حتى ترضى عنا. تقبل منا هذا اليسير بلطفك وكرمك. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.